The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. We begin reading at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, three men were standing in front of him. He saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter, and we begin reading at verse 21. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless, above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a faithful minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God has chosen to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, we may present everyone mature in Christ. This I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on the gospel lesson for today. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is our text. I know a lot of you probably believe that there's just too much to do in life. But we have more time on our hands than any other generation. And I know, you don't think that. But think of what life used to be for thousands and thousands of years. You know, like yesterday morning, and I hope we're not ruining it for some other guys out there, but, you know, I did some laundry. I don't do all of it, okay? My wife will tell you that. But there are certain things I do. I took my whites downstairs, and I threw them in and pushed a couple of buttons. And then about an hour later, they were all nice and clean. And I spent another 2 minutes going down and taking them out of the washer and putting them into the dryer. Then I came back and they were all clean. How many of you used to take clothes and put them up on a clothesline outside? Oh, quite a few of you. That took a lot of time, didn't it? And how many of you, and I'm probably not going to get many hands on this, how many of you used to go down to the river with your clothes, beat them on a rock? Any hands here? I don't see any. How much time do you think that took? If you've ever popped something into a microwave and had a meal about two minutes later, raise your hands. How many of you have ever gone out and had to gather wood to start a fire? Then had to mix all the ingredients. And then if you put it all together, cook it over a fire that you spent a little time getting started. How many of you at least remember a wood stove that your mom or grandmother cooked on? Okay. You know, that took a lot of time. Just eating and getting your laundry done used to take most of the day. We have more time than we realize. And yet, even in that ancient world, when just getting the stuff needed to survive took up most of the day, God commanded people to take time to do nothing. How many of you, outside of being sick, have spent a day doing nothing recently? Not seeing that many hands this time. It was called the Sabbath. You know, we think of the Sabbath day maybe as getting to church, then going home, mowing the lawn, and doing a bunch of other things. That's not what the Sabbath was in the Old Testament. Go back sometime and read Numbers chapter 15. Write it down. Numbers chapter 15. Interesting account in the scripture, explaining how important it was to God that we do nothing at least one day a week. There was a man, Numbers chapter 15, read about it, went out on the Sabbath to pick up sticks. Now, I don't know, was it a little chilly that day, or, you know, they were planning on steak and they didn't have anything to cook it on. I don't know why he needed to go and pick up sticks. But he did that on the Sabbath. He got caught. You know what they did? They stoned him. Now you may think that's a horrible punishment for a little crime. But that's how important the Sabbath used to be. And by the way, it was God who said, stone him. It was important to God. At least one day a week to do, at least in regard to work, nothing. Most of you haven't done nothing for a day for a long time. You should try it. So if you're a family and you're sitting around one day, oh, cell phones? I don't think they really fit to the concept of the Sabbath. Televisions? I don't think they fit the concept of the Sabbath either. You put away the televisions, you put away the cell phones, one day a week. You can't mow the lawn. You can't clean the garage. You're supposed to sit around and do nothing one whole day, every single week. What are you going to do? I'll bet you can figure it out. You're a family. You're sitting down one day a week. You can't do anything. What are you going to do? Tell me. Aha. I heard it out there. Somebody came up with it. You're going to sit around and talk to each other. And what are you going to talk about? Go read Deuteronomy 6 or Deuteronomy chapter 8. God tells the people of Israel, as they're walking around the road, as they're sitting down, talk about the wonderful things God has done for us. Oh, they didn't go to church, figuratively speaking, on the Sabbath day. But they did a lot of talking. And I'm quite sure that in the average Jewish home, that included talking about God, His wonderful works. One thing is needful. I don't know if it was a Sabbath day that Jesus was visiting Mary and Martha. But Jesus, God Himself, was in the house. And He was teaching. And it didn't bother Him one little bit that Mary was sitting at His feet listening. But Martha found a lot to do. She was trying to be probably a good host. But, you know, the way homes were constructed back and then, there might have been a little bit more to it. You know, we've got nice windows and doors. They didn't have them back in the days of Jesus. Oh, they might have shutters on the house, wood shutters. But if you close them, you know, they didn't have light switches. The place got really dark. So normally, the house would be open. Somebody at any moment could walk by your window, peek in. Chances are, though the text doesn't specifically say it, she was not only concerned about taking care of Jesus and maybe some of the disciples that were there along with Him, making sure she looked good, the people around. She found ways when Christ wasn't asking it of her.
to be distracted. She was worried about things. Anxious about a lot of things. Troubled about a lot of things. And you know, in our world today, there is ample amounts of anxiousness and trouble and worry and fear. And there's a reason for that. It's because the one thing that is really necessary, finding peace and joy in life, is missing in the lives of most people. That quiet time to sit down, to talk to each other, and to remind ourselves of that one thing that God says is needful and essential. And although the gospel lesson for today doesn't exactly spell that out for us, the epistle lesson for today did a wonderful job of doing that. It began, if you remember, talking about how evil and wicked we are. And then, you know, I'd like to remind you that at least in some way you're perfect. Well, that text for today really laid it out so wonderfully. It told us how Christ died for us in order that he may present to us to God as holy and blameless and above reproach. That is the essence of the gospel that we proclaim. That no matter what the world may say about us, to God, the only one who really matters, we're perfect. And we don't take the time to remind ourselves of that, at least as much as we should. More than that, we don't take the time to a world that's in crisis. Tell them, God has told us through our Lord and Savior Jesus. We live in a world so distractive. We have children literally killing themselves because of what some people on Facebook might be saying about. We have people who are anxious and worried about life. When God makes us so many wonderful promises, not only about the life to come, but the life that we have here. We live in a world where a lot of people, I'm so busy, I don't have time to go to church. Who can't complete a conversation without looking 10 times at their cell phone. How many of you have ever been talking to somebody and they've reached out and looked at their cell phone? And we've probably, most of us here, have probably done that to others as well. Is it really that important? An entire family can be alone in a house, each one in a different room watching a different TV, when they could be sitting together talking. But what are we going to talk about? Talk about Jesus. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And take out the name Martha, put your own name in it. Is one thing that is needful. And it's the one thing that really is missing in the lives of most of the world today. How many people out there do you think don't believe that anybody really loves or cares about them? But it's a lot. But we are deeply and sincerely all loved by God, the creator of the universe himself. So deeply loved that he would literally send his son to die for us. We might know of that love. Do your friends know that? Have you talked to them about that lately? We live in a world where people feel so inadequate in so many ways. Don't consider themselves to be holy and blameless and above reproach. But think of themselves as not getting the job done here, not getting the job done here. Here I'm a failure. There I'm a failure. Life stinks. What's it worth? Do we sit down and talk and remind them about the real realities of life? No, we can't do it all. That's why God did it all for us. We're anxious. We're bothered. We got to get this done. What if I don't? And then comes Jesus. You know, stop for a second. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Get real. God has your life. You'll be okay. Stop worrying. Oh, that people in our lives could hear that message. But we, though God, through all kinds of modern technologies, has given us so much time, we've found ways to become utterly distracted. And although we don't live under the exact strictness of Israel back in the days of Moses, we should recall and maybe try to implement in our own lives what God intended the Sabbath to be it a Saturday or Sunday or whatever day of the week. To rest. Take a break from all the distractions in life. And to focus our attentions and the attentions of those around us on the one thing needful. That is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the days ahead, do you want to be a Martha or do you want to be a Mary? You know, Martha, at this time in our gospel lesson, didn't like Mary a lot. They were sisters. Martha was angry. And guess what? Whenever we try to do the things that our Lord wants us to do, because he knows we need it and it's good for us, there will also be Marthas in the world yelling and screaming about us and telling us we're the ones doing wrong and we should be doing it their way. Don't listen to them. Go to the Lord and ask of him what you should do. This will be his counsel and advice. Take a break from life. Once a week, talk. Include in that talk the wonders of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll have what you really need in life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and lives through faith in Jesus. Amen.